Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to let you all know about the new Union member profile. Every month, we'll be featuring a new member from the Union GK app on the podcast. Want to be featured? Just start engaging on the forum by going to www.theunionsports.com or the Union community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from West Hollywood, California. With me, you know her as the coach of U.S. women at the soccer tournament coming up at the end of May. The one and only 99 World Cup winner, CBS Paramount Plus NWSL analyst, Saskia Weber. A lot of hats you got going on, Sus.
I never thought that would be one of them, coach of the U.S. U.S. soccer women. It's for seven aside.
You know, someone that knows a little bit about U.S. women is Racing Louisville goalkeeper coach Sergio Gonzalez. Serge, what's up, man? Thanks for coming back to the show. I guess you had fun the first time.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me back. I'm looking forward to chatting with you and appreciate you, you know, bringing me back on.
Absolutely, man. I mean, obviously, it's been an exciting, you know, start to the NWSL season. Saskia has been covering a lot of Louisville, so I figured this was perfect.
I know. I'm like, should I be on right now? Take your shots. Here we go.
So, what do you want to say, Serge? What do you want to say to Susk after her commentary?
She's been spot on. I know the rain game was a frustrating one for all of us, and we've watched that from in front of the goal, behind the goal, the side of the goal, and you know, I think it's a learning process. You know, I think as a young goalkeeper for Katie, especially, or she's 30 games into her career, and I can probably count on one hand the amount of time she's had a moment like that, which is good. And, you know, the thing for her, I told her, is like, hey, if you're going to have a long career, as I think you're going to, I hate to tell you that tonight's not going to be the only night that something like that happens. It's just it's part of the job.
Hey, I've been there. Trust me, I've been there too. You can only speak from experience.
Exactly. But I think what I've really liked is her responses. Her response has been fantastic. I mean, again, another strong game against Orlando. So it's good. It's been fun. You know, it's been crazy. I think the parity in the league this year is just amazing. Every game is tight. Every game, there's not an easy game. Top of the table, bottom of the table, middle of the table. If you don't show up on the night, you could be in for it.
Absolutely. The depth is great. It makes it so much fun for me to call and watch. And you never know. You don't walk into anything going like, okay, well, you know, this is a given or anything. It's, you never know what's going to happen.
By the way, Serge, did all of you, all you goalkeeper coaches in NWSL, like make a call to the league and be like, hey, we need more goalkeeper coaches on the game calls? Because it seems like, half of everybody's a goalkeeper?
Oh, 14-year-old me goes crazy when I hear Tony Meola. I'm like, God, that brings me back to the days of Jersey. I mean, being a Jersey boy and hearing Saskia and Tony on the call, it's like, man, 13-year-old me is like, this is awesome.
I know. We might as well be calling it out of New Jersey or something because we got Jill Boyden. It's like.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's good. I think you look at all the flack everybody's getting on Sky Sports of not having goalkeepers in the commentary booth and understanding goalkeeping. I think it's great to have the former goalkeepers that we have to give their insight because I think it's really important. I think, you know, a lot of times you're criticizing goalkeepers without being in their shoes. And I think that's a understanding what they're thinking and seeing. And having that experience, I think, brings a lot to everybody watching the game. So it's much appreciated.
You know, speaking of that, you know, Susk, I mean, you know, we had this conversation off the air and everything like that, but it is kind of a fine line, though, when you're doing TV analyst work, you know, for the layperson, you know, for lack of a better term right there, where you want to be specific about goalkeeping actions, but you don't want to make it so goalkeeper coach talk that people get lost.
Well, yeah, but not really. Okay. You know, actually, the producers actually really like it because they, you know, you don't want to get too coach talk, period, when you're talking about the flow of the game or, you know, what's going on the field. But really, the breakdowns of why goals happen is what they're really, they love. And because that, those are your highlights, that's what everybody's looking at. And so the to see it from a goalkeeper's perspective and really being able to kind of explain, you know, well, she was screened here, or, you know, she had defense here and she, you know, shouldn't have come for the ball, or whatever it might be. But to they actually like it. I get it in my ear, like, good stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think I'm personally digging it, but you know, I mean, I don't know if it was, you joked, I was like, is this podcast just for me? It's not. Obviously, it's for a lot of people, but I think a lot of people are learning, Sergio. You know, because you were talking about the Sky Sports thing. You know, you don't know what you don't know, and if people are not exposed to goalkeeper terminology or goalkeeper education, if they're an outfield, you know, coach, you know, they're never going to know. And so it's good to point these things out.
For sure. It's easy to criticize a goalkeeper when you can slow ball down, when you can slow it down, you can look at it all the different angles. But in the moment, to have someone who's been in that situation and break down why that action, you know, that error occurred, or why that save was so special, helps. Because it is easy to slow it down and go, oh, how is she going to get beat there? How did she not see that? How did you not see this? And I think it's good to get that point of view of, no, this is what's going on in your head. This is what you're worried about. This is where you're screened and you can't see something. So I think it's great.
Yeah. And then also for me, like, you get away from that, just that expectation. Well, okay, he made the save. He should have made the save. Not really identifying why that was so difficult, or because of where the defense was, you know, what the attack did positive there to even open up the shot and everything. So it kind of gives that bigger perspective. It's more in depth, but that's what you want, because for so long, it's just been like, oh, well, you know, they got scored on, like, you know, there was nothing, you know, or, oh, he should have done better there, or she should have done better there. Really? Should she have, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'll protect the keepers. I'm like, well, the entire defense should have done better there. And
yeah, exactly. Or they spilled that shot. Well, I don't know if they spilled it. They actually didn't see it. And it's a pretty good parry to get a hand on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, this is a great segue into what we got going on this weekend, and we're very excited about this. We're obviously talking about breakdowns of different plays, and we're going to do some breakdowns, obviously, with Sergio later on of some actions. But if you out there have been like, hey, you know, because people have been reaching out and been like, hey, here's a clip of me, you know, on DMs or whatever, and I'm like, you know, we only have so much time. So we're going to start these new interactive breakdown sessions that we're going to be doing with different athletes, different coaches, you know, on the union. And the first one is this weekend. It's with our own 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber. And guys, this is really awesome, because basically you're going to get your own private Inside the 18 with your own clips. So you're going to be able to come on here, and Siski and I are going to be breaking down your actions, whether it's session designs, whether it's game actions if you're a youth player, whether it's your practice sessions, whatever it is that you want to do. We're going to be doing it this weekend. And Siski, I know you're very excited about it.
No, I am, because, you know, we've always talked about when we started the union goalkeeping and everything, was that we wanted to, like, give feedback and be able to have that interaction with people that didn't have access to coaches like Sergio every day, or, you know, like me, or like you, Mike, or and stuff. And like that kid that's in the middle of, I don't know, they're great goalkeeper coaches in Iowa, but I'll just use that as an example, and be able to come on and have that interactive ability, and us to be able to analyze and give positive feedback and constructive criticism from top coaches. And so I'm excited about it. Really am. I get tired of talking about the best of the best of the best. Like, never.
I mean, I think that grassroots is really important. And for some of you guys, you know, who might be kind of a little weary on, like, this is whether this is something you want to do. Well, guess what? The first 10 people who register get in free. So there is no risk to you whatsoever if you can hop on and be one of the first 10 to register. After that first 10, you're going to be locked out from the free registration, but you can still register, and there are limited seats available. So I would hop on that right there, guys. It's unionsports.com/content/Saskia Weber, and you can register Saturday, May 13th at 1 p.m. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really excited about it. I think, Saskia, you know, this is something that's very necessary. Sergio, I know, you know, not to throw you into an infomercial here, but I know it's something you're passionate about, is grassroots, obviously, with your times working at camps and stuff, and getting quality feedback from people in a constructive environment where everyone's engaging and learning from each other.
Absolutely. The power of video is just so strong. And I think not enough players use it. And I think it's not about always what you did wrong. There's a lot of what you did right, you know? And mm-hmm. I think that's the nice part about it is you can look, that was a good save, but here's something you can think about that can help you even more in the next. So I don't think it's necessarily always about the negative, but I think it also allows you to really dig into the details, which, you know, I think is important for younger goalkeepers, especially at the grassroots, to learn the details and to start to really look into the little pieces of it and maybe not always look at the big picture. Right. But it's fantastic. What an amazing opportunity. I think that's tremendous. And to have someone with Suski's knowledge and background and to be able to give some education to these young goalkeepers is fantastic.
Yeah, we're gonna see if all this education of her doing it, you know, week in and week out on CBS is paying off.
I have the week off, so instead of taking the weekend off, this is what I decided to do.
It's one thing breaking down Katie Lund; it's another thing breaking down U13, you know, Bridget, yeah. You know, from La Jolla. So but honestly, guys, one of the things that we're really excited about, as opposed to doing it just privately, because I know you guys do this with your coaches a lot, I think we're all going to learn from each other being in the course together, too. You know, you might see something that even one of the professionals didn't see, you know, and you can comment in the session and be like, hey, you know, so-and-so, I just noticed your lateral movement. So we're all learning from each other. And I think that's really that whole, for a lack of better term, goalkeeper union, why it's such a great community.
Yeah.
Sergio, before we kind of get into today's topic, which is something that's been really, really on a lot of people's minds lately, because they've been watching a lot of sessions and they've been watching a lot of games, both on the men and the women's side, which is tracking. Why don't you catch up on everybody with what's going on at Louisville? Obviously, you have 17 goalkeepers, I think it is right now.
Yeah, there is. It's been a good start to the season, frustrating from a points perspective, but in terms of what's going on the field, there's some really good things, and I think we're just trying to get it over the line. I think we're right there. From a goalkeeping perspective, it's been really exciting. Obviously, Katie going into her second year as the number one, which has been great. We've had Jordan Bloomer, who was in Australia, who did fantastic playing for Western Sydney. We had Hillary Beal, who's just finished up in Australia, went to the grand final for Western, was – player of the year for Western, had a fantastic run there. Both of them went away to get games and there were really positive experiences. Unfortunately, Jordan's got an injury right now, which is holding her out. Hillary's taking a little bit of time off just to get herself back in, especially playing COVID college, then playing regular fall, then getting drafted, then coming to us, going to Australia. I said, I think it's time to take a little bit of a break, which has opened the door to bring in a fantastic young woman who was recently on the podcast, Liv Sakani, and she's been tremendous. She came in, put her head down, worked extremely hard, and put herself in an opportunity to get a contract, and has been with us, you know, since the beginning. So it's been fun. I'm really fortunate with the group that I have in terms of how hard they want to work. They show up every day to put in a shift. They're really bought into the process, whether it's, you know, on the field, in the video room, working on their IDPs. So really, really fortunate in the people that I get to work with on a daily basis.
You know, I think you're one of the great things, you know, Saskia, that he was bringing up. And obviously, you know, we don't want to play favorites or anything like that, but we did have Liv on the show recently, actually a couple times recently. And we've seen her journey from, you know, camp invitee, you know, undrafted, you know, camp invitee to a professional contract to being the number two on the team currently. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think when we see those types of stories, they're just so inspirational for young goalkeepers out there who, you know, sometimes might get, you know, frustrated if they're not starting for their college or not being recruited by the schools they want to see, you know, that there's opportunities out there if you just put the work in.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And I love the fact that your other goalkeepers went away to get games and play. And that's something we've talked about a lot, you know, when it comes to, you know, we all know goalkeepers don't sub. So, you know, you don't go put them in for 30 minutes at the end of the game to get game time. And so it's incredibly important that when you have the backing of a club that says, no, go get games in, go get this experience, we're going to bring you back. And the importance to do that, because, you know, you need games. And that's the one way you're going to be ready when the call comes to be the starter. And even coming in with her, and her journey is incredible. I would suggest go back and listen to the podcasts we've had with Liv on it and everything. And then, you know, and such a hard worker. And I still love the story that she had a one-way ticket to New Jersey to train with TKI and then got the phone call. I was like, but you bought a one-way ticket. It's the greatest thing I've ever heard. So just a great keeper there. But I love it. And I love the fact that you're supporting those keepers that went to Australia.
No, it's been great. And I mean, even you look at Katie's journey. I mean, she came in, didn't play in Washington, came to racing as a number two, worked extremely hard to prepare herself, had an opportunity, jumped in, and then kind of went from there. And now we're going into her second season. She's probably played close to 30 games in the last calendar year, which is fantastic. And I think it was really important to send Hill and Jordan away so we could have them develop their body of work. So we had something to go back and look at and say, all right, we know what we're going to get. Because yeah, we can look at the college games, but as we all know, you know, when you take that step to the NWSL, it's a little different. So really good. And I think for me, it's about development and putting them all in a better place and making sure that they're ready, whatever their respective journeys are, that they're ready for it. Obviously with, you know, the league expanding, I've got to make sure that I have a pool that I can pull from, because I know someone's going to want to come fishing in our pool. Cause we're very lucky to have pool keepers. So I'm like, I've got to make sure our bases are covered too. But I think for me, it's about, are they better every week, every month, every session? And the work that they put in is tremendous, and it makes my job a lot of fun. So.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not your first hit. Like with Katie, like, you know, now starting here, now she's in the mix we're talking about her week in and week out about being the future for the U.S. Women's National Team. And that's, you know, but she found a home here with Louisville. And so had that not happened, we wouldn't have been having that conversation. So you never know where you're going to find your footing.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. And her buy-in to wanting to be better and training hard every day and really, you know, sitting down and putting a plan together and going after it. And I think, you know, that's so important. Being a professional goalkeeper, as you know, is not a straight, it's not a straight trajectory. It's up, down, all around, and you just got to be ready to roll with the punches.
Yeah.
You know, Sergio, before we kind of get into the topic, I just do want to ask you this question, because we are talking about Katie right now and her journey and everything. Do you believe that having Mish there, like that first year, having Beto's there, like, was really beneficial to Katie's development to have a veteran to see what it's like to be at that level?
Absolutely. I think it sets the kind of the expectation of how we're going to train and how we're going to go about doing things. And I think, which was really good. I think they all learn from each other. And I think it helped in her drive and how she wanted to train and how she wanted to get better. And I think it just sets the kind of the setting. And for me, I came in a little bit late into that season. So I missed preseason and came in just before the Challenge Cup. So, you know, once we hit the ground running, it was about, okay, you know, I spent a couple weeks watching and working with them, and then said, all right, listen, I see some really big potential in you, but it's not going to be easy. But I promise you, if you put the work in every day, you're going to see it. And full credit to Katie Lund for the focus, concentration, and work that she put in, you know, on the off days, on the match day plus ones and things like that, to put herself in a position, you know, to get some time at the end of the season. And then to kind of take over as the number one, and you've really seen her skyrocket there, which has been great. So it's been a lot of fun to watch. But I think that year one, the way they set the standard and how they wanted to train and what they wanted to do was really the groundwork for where we are now. And absolutely, I think when you have someone who's experienced, who wants to be out every day training, who's going to analyze every save, every goal, it just becomes contagious, and everybody goes from there. So
yeah,
it definitely was a good, you know, for me, very lucky to jump into that situation and have those goalkeepers there.
It's true, though. The goalkeeping depth in the NWSL is awesome. It's amazing. And not just the number ones that are out there playing week in and week out, but the number twos that are just sitting there biting at the bit. And for some of them that are going to get to play because of the World Cup coming up and the number ones going away. But honestly, you know, I call them one and a halfs, not twos. So I do. So just because I spent my life as a one and a half kind of. But it's fun. It's fun. And you're right, with the expansion, they're going to come fishing. So.
Yeah, it's going to be, and it's I'm already sweating it, and we're 8 months away from that, 9 months away from it, but it is what it is. But it's good. I think with the Challenge Cup being in the middle of the season now, you're going to see more young goalkeepers get their chances, which is great. You're starting to see that already, which is awesome. I mean, it's only going to make the league better, and it's great for the future of goalkeeping in the U.S. as well.
So let's kind of like segue over into the topic because I think this is a great kind of way to do this because we're talking about the depth of the NWSL, and I've been watching a lot of NWSL this season, not just because Saskia is one of the analysts, but because it's a great league. And one thing I've noticed is just the level of understanding of the pictures and recognizing what's taking place and being able to track properly. Sergio, there might be some parents listening right now, or maybe even some young goalkeepers that don't know what we mean by tracking. Can you break it down for them a little bit?
Yeah, I think for me, tracking is, you know, being able to follow the ball, knowing where you're going, knowing how you're moving, knowing the situation that's evolving. I was actually doing some video with Liv today, and we were talking about that. It's when you get into those situations, let's say it's a cutback and you know the ball, it's being able to follow the ball through bodies, knowing it's going to get from the end line to the top of the box. How are you moving to position yourself, knowing that this ball's coming in fast, so it's probably going to be hit one time. How am I going to be able to follow this ball but position myself to deal with it? Or this ball's moving slow. It may be a touch from the attacker. So how am I able to track the ball to put myself in a position that if they do take a long touch, I might be able to come out, block, and smother. Yeah. So I think it's knowing the scenarios you're going to be in, knowing how, when, and why you're moving, and I think is really important. I think sometimes, especially for young goalkeepers, they just move to move. They don't know why they're moving, how they're moving, where they're moving to. They're just going. And I think that's where you see sometimes those errors of, you know, from a positional piece is because they're not able to track the ball and understand where it's going and now kind of be able to situate themselves to deal with it.
You know, Susk, one thing that I always notice with youth goalkeepers, you know, and I'm not, you know, pointing fingers at any specific goalkeepers, but I see it a lot is trying to catch up in movement. They're like, oh, now I'm supposed to move. Okay. And so they're always behind the play because they start trying to get involved once the ball gets to, let's say, the final third, and now all of a sudden they're just way behind.
Well, that's what we talked about. Like, it's being reactive and not proactive. And like, in order to get it jump ahead and everything, you have to be proactive. You have to be reading the game. You have to be tracking the ball. You also have to be aware of what is going on around you at the same time. It's multitasking. But if you're reacting in a sense, you're always going to be a step behind. So if you're not tracking the ball and that through ball gets touched in and then you're like, oh, I got to go, you're already too late. Mm-hmm. And we say that all the time. It's why you see goalkeepers get beat, you know, on a smother or, you know, on a cross and stuff. It's because you weren't tracking the ball properly and it's just a millisecond, but that's all it takes.
You know, personally, Sergio, you know, one thing that I notice when it comes to that is just that, like, and I'm not pointing fingers at any specific goalkeeper coaches or whatever, but there's a lot of sessions out there that I've seen out there, and they are very, for lack of a better term, static sessions. And so it's either like it's announced service and it's kids in line and they're waiting for their turn and then they go. So it teaches you mentally to behave like that in a match.
Yeah. Absolutely. I had a chance to teach one of the United Soccer Coaches Association, the advanced national goalkeeper, this January, which was a really great experience because it kind of spun it for me. Like, all right, now I've got to explain why I do things to coach you, so they know. But it was really interesting because everybody submitted a session prior to the course. And then we did a session as instructors. And then from there, they had to go back and, all right, how would you change your initial session? 99% of them went back and took all the cones out because they had exactly what you said, Mike. Cones, shuffling. Like, I go back to how we grew up, Saskia, probably. It was shuffle over cones, catch the ball. It was very regimented. It was very cones in a straight line. Everything was about cones. And I think that's where you get it because goalkeepers don't know how to move. They know how to move in a straight line, and that's it. They know how to move to the right and I think it's so important that you take that out. Like the beginning bits, absolutely. You want to get some footwork and handling in, you can throw some cones in there. But I think once you get in, it's got to look like the game. And I think sometimes we're afraid for our training to look messy because I think
we always talk about that.
I think there's this perception that goalkeeper training has to look like sexy all the time and like perfect. Far from perfect.
Because the game's far from perfect.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes as a coach, you're going to hit a mannequin and the ball's going to bounce off it, or you're going to miss the goal, and things like that happen. Like, but I think when we try to make it too perfect and too clean, we're not doing our goalkeepers any service. It's hurting them. I think it's got to look like the game. It's got to be messy. It's got to have decisions. It can't be clean and perfect all the time. And I think that's where the learning happens, is when you can create those environments.
Yeah, I like what you said, Sergio, that it was like, listen, coaches out there and stuff, don't get us wrong, like training footwork and stuff like that, we get it. Like, that's important. And you have to, especially young goalkeepers, let them understand their body weight and their balance and positioning and movement and everything like that. But that's got to go away at some point. Like, it's got to resemble the game and what they're going to see. And even to the point when it comes to services and stuff, you know, we can get some, you can have a jugs machine. You could get somebody out there perfect that's hitting every ball exactly where you want it to be hit every single time and stuff like that. But is that totally realistic? You know, and like you said, you're going to miss the goal. You're going to hit a mannequin, put them up against some of their own players and let them see like the reality of the pace of the shot they're going to be facing, as well as your service or an upper level service. But yeah, it's got to look like the game. And then you're going to see if their footwork is proper, if they're getting across the goal, if they're tracking the ball and everything. That's when it's going to show. And that's when you're really coaching. And when you're like, okay, your body weight was off here, your positioning was off. Hey, for me, your left toe was moving too far that way, and that's why I went in, because that's how technical I can get sometimes. But I only see that in the reality of a game setting.
Yeah. I want to pull this up right here because obviously I'm going to mute it for a second here so that we don't hear the wind consistently through the entire time. But Sergio was nice enough. See, I mean, you know, it's funny because like we're not used to weather out here in Southern California. I don't know if you realize
what it. Are you talking about?
Well, we've had it this year. We're not used to it.
I was about to say, where have you been living?
Yeah. but you're used to it consistently all the time. And so like every session you sent, it's like raining one day, it's like lightning the other day. Well, you're not out there in the lightning, but you know what I mean.
Because if you wait an hour, the weather just changes here. It's unbelievable.
So why don't you break down first off what we got going on right here?
Yeah, this is just a really simple little warm-up we use. It's just some footwork into a volley and then bowl back to me. And I play it back to Katie and she just moves the ball from one side to the other. So just starting to imprint some movements. I think it's important in the beginning, obviously, to get a little bit of footwork in, just some basic technique, and then a little bit of distribution. And it's interesting because I think for every head coach you work for, it's going to be a little bit different in terms of what you do from a distribution perspective. We use a lot of pattern play. So I know that Katie's going to strike probably 20, 30 balls in a session when we're working on some pattern play. So I don't have to incorporate that as much into my training. Whereas if we didn't do that, I would probably build more pattern play in for us, if that makes sense. But usually I'll get this going. So it's a shorter pass and then it'll work into a longer pass in the next round, but just to get them moving, and just kind of get them activated a little bit.
You know, what I also like about this is, and for coaches out there and stuff, you're not like, go, 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 go over, over, over. You're like, focus on the quality of your movement in a short period of time. You know, that's more realistic to the game. Like, I mean, if your keeper's like exhausted and go, go, go and making mistakes, I mean, how often does that happen? But in these tight spaces and with this movement, it's like, focus on your pass, focus on the movement through the cones and everything. Just, you don't need 100 reps in a row.
Yeah. And I want to point something. Go ahead, Sergio.
No, it's absolutely. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that. It's got to be, we've got to do 30 catches. And it's like, if you can do 6 really good at a good pace, like that's great. Done. Like, we don't need to do this all day. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that. And the quantity.
Well, I think because coaches get caught up in, if my goalkeeper doesn't look like they're absolutely exhausted and like covered head to toe, then they haven't worked. And but have you really gotten quality out of them? You know, so 6 quality catches are better than like 20 crappy ones. So,
yeah. You know? And this kind of brings back to the point about cones, because, you know, I think there's probably maybe some young goalkeeper coaches who are watching this going like, but he said no cones.
That's why I pulled that back. I said, yeah. He didn't say no cones.
Exactly. Because the thing is that it's all about using your equipment with purpose, as opposed to just using your equipment. Like, obviously in an activation phase here, you're just trying to get movement out of Katie, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's just getting her going. We've just got on the field. So I'm looking at how she's moving, how she's feeling today. And I think what's also important is it's for each of your goalkeepers. So I'm going to look at Liv in a different lens on how Liv moves, because mm-hmm. that's Liv. I don't expect both of them to be the same. So it's interesting. You know, Katie's 6'2". So her movements for her, she needs to be short and sharp. She knows I know. I wish I could.
Yeah. What supplements are they taking, Serge? It's insane. Like,
I used to think, you know, back when we were playing third, I was like tall. I was considered tall. Like,
if you notice, I don't stand next to that much.
I wouldn't even qualify. It doesn't matter if I was good. I'm like, you know, everybody wants that. They're like six feet is like the cutoff. It's not kids out there for real, but you guys are all growing pretty big, pretty tall.
So now it looks like, Serge, so now you're kind of progressing into a little bit more realistic movements, obviously, after your activation right here. We'll just go through this right here again. And even during this activation, there's still tracking involved, because you're still shifting your eyes and you're following the ball and you're moving and moving and moving. But from here, it looks like now you move into the goal. So what's going on here?
So here you've got Liv playing a ball out to I'm lucky. I have Declan, who works in our academy. He's an outfield player that comes in and will help her, which is nice. So it's a little bit of a double movement here, where the ball gets played from the mannequin out. So Katie's got to track it, drop, find her positioning. Then she's got to reposition for a shot for me from a little bit straighter an angle. So again, it's tracking two things. And I think one of the important things with tracking and movement is that, one, it's realistic to the game in terms of how they're moving, but also that second piece to it, right? So we've dealt with that one ball. Now I've got to find the other ball. So I'm starting to train them to then find the next ball to get out. If they kick out a rebound, that's going to fall, you know, in and around Liv, or kicks back out to Declan, or that shot that Declan kicks back out to me, then the rebound's live and we go. And maybe we cut out the shot at the top of the box because it's carried over. But I think one of the important things that we talk about in this particular exercise is when she's dropping off the mannequin, she's got to track the ball and see the touch, because if the touch is heavy, she can't drop straight back to the goal line, because now she makes the distance double the size of what it would be. She's got to position herself almost halfway so that if it's a bad touch, she can come and close. If it's maybe a tight touch, she can drop off and give herself more time to react. So a lot of it is about the positioning, the tracking, the understanding of where the ball is and how you're moving to deal with the ball.
Yeah. What's important, that was goes back to what you were saying, Mike, is that kids just move to move. And so, like, you know, that means you're not tracking the ball. You're like, okay, well, this is going to be a near post save, so I've got to get back into this position, but that's not necessarily the reality of the touch on the ball. So you've got to be tracking the ball, finding the ball, and see where that touches to see where your positioning is going to be. And then I always say this when I was coaching kids, is don't go ahead of yourself. Like, she's focused on the first touch, the first save and everything, and then she goes on to the second one. And so many times young goalkeepers out there, they kind of are like, okay, I'm going to make the save, but I got to get across the goal and make the other one. And it's like, focus on one thing at a time.
Because they're playing the drill. They're playing the drill as opposed to playing what would you do in a game type of thing. And I always find this so many times, Serge. I find all these goalkeepers who play differently based on an activity versus the game. I see them in an activity and they're training so that they get good at the activity.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then in the game, they're doing something completely different than what they're doing in the activity.
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's important with these activities too, that you give the attacking player, like, it's as soon as that ball gets played into him, it's live. So it's not, because I think if you start to go, all right, you only have two touches, then the goalkeepers are able to find that rhythm and they can start to cheat a little bit. They can start to, and I always say to them, cheaters get scored on. That's what I always say to our goalkeepers. Like, you've got to be ready. You've got to deal with what's going on in the moment. Be proactive, find yourself in that position. deal with that ball and then move on to the next action. But then it forces them to have to track to the next ball, which I think is so important. So I think it's as much as we can get the double movements in, as much as we can create little different scenarios. So you can see, especially when that ball comes off the angle, if Declan then cuts it back and now it becomes a cutback, how does Katie adjust her positioning to deal with that? You know, if he takes a long touch, can she come out and close? For her, as being 6'2", you're not going to see her spread as much because she's so big. I think you see her stay in a block more. Where like Liv, you watch Liv, Liv will go into a spread a little bit more than Katie will. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's making sure you understand your goalkeeper's strengths and highlight them. Right. So I love doing these different type of scenarios because every ball is going to be different. Every ball, depending on the weight of the pass coming out, depending on the touch, depending on the angle that the attacking player gets on the ball, are all going to now change the scenario and force the goalkeeper to have to track. And again, it's being really specific in how you're moving and why you're moving. For Katie, she knows. Oops, sorry, Sasia, go ahead.
No, it'd be interesting. And I love the fact that Declan has the ability to, if he wants to take that long touch, because it'd be cool. It'd be interesting to see. We don't see a long touch here, but for coaches and players out there, what is your reaction to that long touch? Like, are you like, and you can see if you're reactive or proactive, if you're tracking the ball, right? Is it, oh, and you're going, or is it as soon as the long touch hit, Katie's going and like into a spread, into a block, into a smother, whatever. And so that split like hiccup, like, oh, they took a long touch means that you weren't tracking the ball properly. You were kind of setting yourself up for the drill, like you said, Mike, saying, oh, well, no, he was supposed to shoot here. You know, like that mentality. But that's not a drill. Exactly.
It gets so staged. Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, you know, one thing I really loved, Sergio, when you were talking about like, oh, you start getting the rhythm of the drill and it almost becomes like, oh, I know that dance. You know, but then like when you're asked to freestyle dance, you can't. You can only do that one choreography.
Yeah.
You know, to put it in a specific way. All right. So this is a different day right here. So what's going on here now?
Again, just a little bit of activation. So turning off, pretty simple. Two ball. I like to use two balls sometimes for them to hold just because it keeps their shape a little bit, and then it's drop and catch. So really simple. For them, they can step in, they can drop in, they can turn in. My only rule is you can't do the same action twice. So I don't want them dropping twice. I want them to kind of just explore with this. It's just about keeping their shape. Again, just a little bit of movement and nice, just getting them going. Yeah, just quick movements. For me, especially for having two taller goalkeepers, how they move is so important. Efficiency and movement is a premium for taller, bigger goalkeepers, because the quicker they move, the more tendency they have to lose their shape. So we work on speed of movement, but also control movement. This one, we added a little bit of crossing into it. It was a match day -2, so it was a little bit of both. So you'll see in the next thing, the next phase of this is I'll have a ball served in. The other goalkeeper will have a plyo ball in their hand, and they'll kind of smack them as they're going to catch it to start to replicate some pressure. And then they've got to reposition and deal with a volley for me. So just to get them going a little bit, get them thinking. I think this is really important, especially with how physical it is inside the box in the NWSL. You got to be ready for pressure. So this just kind of starts to get that going. So focusing on the ball, and then we go from there. The later phase to this session is going to be a little bit of crossing under pressure.
But before we go to that though, I really want to just, you know, what I love about this plyo ball, you know, is that it basically, it's just a little bit of pressure. It's not, you're not pounding into the person, because Susk, you know this, you know, from experience, it's just a little bit of physical, you know, connection or impact can shift your entire body weight. So you just have to be able to rebalance yourself, recenter yourself quickly, right?
Yeah, but also what's your timing with that pressure? You know, like, are you allowing that pressure to nudge you a little bit, even though it's a plyo ball and it's not much, or are you just kind of powering up through it and it really not messing with your ability as a goalkeeper to go up strong for the ball? And we see, you know, it goes both ways, and we see it in games at the highest level. It's like, you know, you're going up and you're totally, you're going up too direct, right? You've already gotten to the position and people are knocking you and you're kind of uncomfortable, or are you just kind of timing the ball right with the pressure and going up through it? And so even just using, you know, this, the ball here to kind of simulate that in the beginning, it's great.
You know, and one thing I like about the Sergio is getting back in regards to tracking is that so many young goalkeepers, the second that they make contact with the ball in a crossing situation, like they're no longer focused on what the next action is. So it's like if they don't hold that ball and they box it, they don't know what the picture is at all. They have no idea where they're playing this ball to, or where, you know, if there's a player running on the back post, you know, or did they just box it to their best striker, you know, or anything like that. So I like the fact that after the contact here, it's an immediate as if the ball was just cleared out and they had to find the ball again.
Absolutely. And I think what you'd get to with a lot of younger goalkeepers is that they'd be so fixated on the plyo ball and not the ball that they're actually catching. And to be honest,
same thing with players in goal.
Yep.
Yeah.
The first thing we started when we first started using this ball, the focus became like, we started doing it last year quite a bit. And in the beginning, it was like they were so worried about the ball. And I'm like, the ball's not going anywhere. Yeah. It's going to hit you. Great. Like, but I also think you think about the details of how you're catching. Are you squaring up to the ball? Because if you start to drop your back foot and your back shoulder and that ball bumps you, you're going to drop the ball. So it's about being able to square up and catch. And then again, that second action, I think it's really important to have multiple actions because that's the game, that there's always going to be a second piece to it. You know, you make a save, you got to be ready for the second save. That's why I think, you know, we have what I call them parry zones when we play. If you can parry the ball wide of the six and it's closer to the end line, it's dead. But if you parry that back out central, you've parried it back into the firing line and it's coming back at you. So you better be ready. So I think, again, it's important to have – the ball shouldn't just be dead because they've knocked it down. Play the game. If the ball is parried into a safe area, then great, it's safe. If it's not, you've got to teach your goalkeepers to respond and be ready because that's what the game is going to be. So yeah. I think those pieces are really important.
And I think it's so true, like especially young coaches. I've seen this in college everywhere, but get that ball. Like you said, their main focus when you started, this is the ball. And you see it in the games, their main focus is the people putting pressure on them. As far as it drives me crazy to see a goalkeeper shove a player, right? So here comes, I'm going to push the player away and then I'm going to go for the cross. Really? Do you know how far behind the play that just made you? Like the ball just is in the air. You're shoving somebody out of the way and now you're going to go try to make pull down a cross. It's not going to happen. Just let them do what they want to do. You know, just focus, track the ball. Their entire job is to disorient you, is to draw you too far near post, make you leave too early on a cross. And if you don't fall for it, just track the ball.
You know, one thing in regards to the tracking the ball, you know, Sergio, and we'll see this a little bit later when we watch some clips here, but you know, you guys have had some actions, you know, within your last few games in the last couple months where Katie has, and it's shown based on the activities that you're doing here, had to rediscover the ball. But she never really lost sight of where the ball was, even though she lost physical sight of the ball because she'd been tracking the movements and the actions and the distance that the ball had been. Like I was like, there's the one, it was like Sophia Smith, it was like from distance, and then Sinclair came in on that ball and she still knew whatsoever everything that was going on, or that Ordonez header situation. You know, she was able to recover on that one too. So.
And I think it's knowing how she's going to move. And I think that's really important. So one of the biggest things for me is that I put them in scenarios that they're going to see in the game so that it becomes like they can do it in their sleep in terms of knowing how and where they're going to move. The ball's here. I know the potential of the ball being played across. I can track it. But now I know where that ball is going. Now, as I track it, I'm aware of how I'm moving to position myself to be able to deal with a one-touch strike, a header, you know, a ball that's a touch and a strike. So we try to create as many different scenarios as we can and really focus on how we're moving from point A to point B and why we're moving that way. Because I think that gets lost sometimes. I think we're more worried about, all right, well, the ball got there, so I've got to get across, to your point, Saskia, of just getting there to make the save and not really know why you're getting there. So I think especially for young goalkeepers, know why you're moving and know how you're moving is going to put you in better positions to be able to respond to the ball.
Yeah.
you know, and you know, before we move on to this actions right here, you know, Susco, I want to bring up the fact that something that Sergio said about, you know, especially with taller goalkeepers, and I think any goalkeeper, is that, you know, being fluid with your movement and efficient with your movement. I know a lot of young goalkeepers, Susk, who actually can track the ball mentally with their mind. They're following it with their eyes, but their body's not in tune with where the ball's moving.
Yeah, but it's different per goalkeeper. And like, you know, Sergio said, like, it depends on Liv's going to, you know, 6'2 goalkeeper to a 5'9 goalkeeper, and how you move and how you track and your positioning and your footwork. And, you know, those little micro movements, you don't need to overdo it. Like, it doesn't have to be a huge move across the goal. And if it is, you're probably out of position in the first place. But those micro movements and adjustments will make it a lot simpler for you while you're tracking the ball. You also just can't track with your head and not move your body either, you know, and then move your body. Yeah. So
I've done plenty of that in my life, and it leads to a lot of balls that way. I'll tell you that. Serge, what do we have going on here now?
Yeah. So this become a favorite of ours. So it starts with a ball that's kind of cut back to the top of the box, and depending on the pace of the ball, it can be struck one time. It could be a touch and a strike, and that ball is live. Once that ball is dead, it comes back off the angle where I'll play a ball into Katie right now, and she'll just lay it off to the right or left, and it's a finish. So it's two different scenarios, but it's, again, a lot of tracking, because now as that ball travels, Liv has to look at the pace of the ball, has to look at how the ball is moving and position herself to deal with it, and then reposition herself now to track another ball that's going to get lost behind the mannequin for a second, because it's going to come in and get knocked out. So then it's about, are you just retreating back, or are you putting yourself in a position where you can step down the line if you need to, or drop off and create more time to make the save? So again, a lot of tracking and a lot of understanding of how they need to move and why they need to move. Mm-hmm. I've found this to be really helpful. Obviously with the mannequins being positioned the way they are, there's glimpses of when they lose the ball and then they find the ball again. So from a tracking perspective, and then from a positioning perspective, it puts them into a lot of different scenarios, which I think is important.
Yeah.
You know, one thing with this right here, and I'm just going to rewind it right here a little bit, right about here. So I think it's right where, yeah. So it's that little drop for depth right there, that little drop for depth right there. I want a lot of young goalkeepers out there to see that, because when we're talking about tracking movements, you know, a lot of times they think of laterally. They're just thinking lateral. They're not thinking about vertically and horizontally, because the body moves all sorts of different ways and the ball moves in all sorts of different ways. Can you break that down a little bit, how these little micro movements, as Suskia likes to say, add another level to the tracking?
Absolutely. And I think once Liv sees that ball get cut inside, now I've got a lot of goal to finish. So I think it's important for her at that point. We call it flattening out. It allows her to flatten out and drop to deal now with the ball that's going to get hit across her body. Because if she stays where she is and squares, she loses the whole left side. There's no way she can open up and deal with that. So for her, is she holds her positioning. She sees that I take that lateral touch. And now for her, it's a little bit called a back set, a drop set there. She drops, creates a little bit more time. Now she can read that ball, because that ball coming across her body is probably not going to come in as fast as a ball that's going to get smashed into the near post. Now, if my touch were to come in front of me, then I think for her, she's probably going to step down the line and close that. But because I've flattened out and given myself more of an angle to shoot, she's got to now reposition herself to give herself the best ability to deal with the whole goal. And I think it's those little mini movements that we like to call that are really, really important. So you see that quick little shift, and you watch how her body goes from off the angle to opening up just enough that she can push her feet and now extend across to deal with that ball as it comes across the left side of her body.
Yeah, that's a great save, because she's covering all three points of the goal right there, just by making that little movement. There's a question in here from David Winner over at Columbus Crew, and he goes, "Love all of this!" Exclamation point. Do you think experience has a lot to do with tracking as well? Anticipation before things actually occur and ability to deal with the situations. I refer to it as a sixth sense. So David is telepathic, which is great.
I think it is. I mean, I think as you get more experienced, you start to see scenarios over and over again. And I think you can learn from every scenario you're in. So I do think there is a bit of anticipation. Sometimes I think your scouting goes into that as well. When you start to watch players, you know their tendencies. So I think absolutely there's situations where you can start to anticipate and you can start to use some cues, which I think is great.
Not to mention, you're also once you get to with more experience and with a higher level, you are manipulating what's happening a lot in front of you as well. So now your movement and your track and everything is also indicative of where your defenders are, and are you forcing them this way? Is the ball on Dabinia's foot? Is it so there's a lot more that goes into it for that sixth sense or that, you know. I think it's more that you're forcing you can control the situation to a certain point, but you can.
Absolutely.
Sisk, you just brought up something just made my head explode, and I wasn't even thinking about that. Is that if you are manipulating the movements of the other team, then essentially you're tracking your movements that you're manifesting, essentially.
Right.
You're giving them.
If I know I want to push this player this way and my defense is set this way, then I'm kind of like manipulating a situation. So there are only so many options that the attack has. And so now I've created an easier situation for myself. So that could be called, I don't really know if it's sixth sense or it's just like, you know, that comes with experience and that comes with, you know, that's quality of goalkeeping.
Yeah.
Transfer pressure what? To the attack. Player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah.
Can you now, you know, instead of retreating or can you position yourself now where they've got to do something? Where a lot of times you see goalkeepers just drop and then you've given the attacking player, or they come flying out and now the attacking player can do whatever they want. So can you put yourself in a position where you start to transfer pressure and make that harder? So I think what Liv does by dropping off there and opening up a little bit is now she's saying, all right, what are you going to beat me with? I'm in a position now where I can cover first step and exactly. Five, and now you just play it past me.
Yeah, and we talked about that, and we always go back to when we had Michelle Akers on the show and her just saying, like, when one of us as goalkeepers would transfer that pressure onto her, she would be like, oh, you know, and like of all people, best player ever would say that. And I was like, really, you guys thought that way? But it was, and it was now instead of us like coming out too fast or biting and them kind of having the whole goal, it was like, now, how are you going to beat me? What are you going to do? I've put myself in a good position and you don't see the goal. You see me now. And, you know, you have to remember there's pressure of defense coming on that attacker and everything else. So now they have to make a quick decision that you forced and you have the upper hand.
You know, speaking of efficiency, Sergio, you know, here's another activation activity that you shared with us right here. And what I love about this is that you're forcing a goalkeeper to be efficient with their lateral movement to refine the ball just by that little shuffle across to touch that post.
Absolutely. And one of the big pieces that we focus on is no big steps. It's got to be quick. It's got to be quick and sharp, because for both of them, the minute either one of them takes a big movement, they're done. They're unbalanced. Yeah. They're not able to. So we work in that kind of 4-yard pocket, and it's just different movements. Sometimes it'll be touch right and touch left and come in. We've also started doing it with a back set as well. So now they've got to move backwards. They've got to move laterally, and then they've got to get into line, which I think is important too. I think especially for the young goalkeeper coaches that are listening, goalkeepers move backwards more than they move forwards. So we've got to incorporate that into our training. Very rarely do you get to step right into line and be perfect with a shot. You're in a high position and you've got to move back. So I think the more you can get your goalkeepers comfortable moving backwards is huge. Not retreating into the goal, but just being able to move back and set. So whether it's coming laterally doing that, or whether it's just a straight drop, there's always some type of backwards movement in our activation just to get that pattern, that movement pattern going.
I also like just the quick 4-yard, because like if you go back and you watch videos of, I don't care, any player, top goalkeeper in the world, they're not moving that far. Everything is in a short, little, narrow range if your positioning is correct. So it's a short movement to the left. It's a short movement to the right. It's not huge, huge distances. You know, gone are the days that you make the kids shuffle the entire 18. Remember that one? It's like shuffle. I'm like, really?
Just a 15-yard line of cones that you just
That was my favorite. I was like, what am I doing?
But Saskia, you're joking. But I think honestly, one of the reasons why a lot of young goalkeeper coaches are still stuck in those types of activities, Sergio, is because they have 12 goalkeepers and they're trying to find a way to warm up all these goalkeepers and get them ready for this club session where there's a 9-year-old and a 17-year-old, you know, and a 35-year-old who's playing on a semi-pro team who's out there with them too.
I feel like you're talking about yourself, Mike.
Let's just say I've been in those environments in the past, but not in a long, long time. But one thing, Sergio, you know, kind of getting back to the cones thing, a mistake I've made with these types of activities in the past myself is that I've laid down cones and forced the goalkeepers to make their movements within the cones, within these small areas. And then especially young goalkeepers, foundational goalkeepers are focused on moving to the cone as opposed to moving naturally.
Yeah. And I think everybody moves differently. And I think there used to be this, a goalkeeping has to look like this and it must look like this. And now I think we're at a stage of it's got to look like what's best for the goalkeeper. So I think that's really important is if you give them an area to move in and make sure they're moving efficiently, it's going to be different for everybody. Yeah. You know, and I think it's going to be, the shape is going to be a little different, but I think if the principles are there, we always say nose over toes, they're in a good set position, their hands are in a good shape that they can catch with, then that's great. You know, if the three of us do the activity, it should look three different ways because we're all going to move a little bit differently. As long as we're getting our head behind the ball, we're out in the pocket catching. I think those are all important little pieces. But I think if we try to constrain it too much, we're not going to allow the goalkeepers to be as efficient as they can for each individual.
Yeah, like don't take the athleticism out of the keeper because you think that it has to look a certain way. Like if I tell Mike he's got to move the same way you do, Sergio, and all now he's not efficient and he's not doing it the best. As long, like you said, as long as there are parameters, you know, nose over the ball, you know, hands, two hands to the ball and everything, you know, let's highlight how Mike moves. I mean, unless it's totally wrong, but let's highlight that. I will preach, Dave. I told you I'm off this weekend. I got to get it out.
I was very fortunate that when I lived in Columbus, I would meet with David probably every couple of weeks. We would sit in a coffee shop and talk goalkeeping, and the people around us probably thought we were crazy because we would get up and demo footwork and just talk. Glad he is not listening. I miss our coffee chats.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh man, look at that. Oh, look, Dave, you're the best, man. Appreciate it. By the way, Serge, how are you doing on time? Are you guys
good.
Done for the day?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Okay. Good to go. Okay. Done cool. for the day. All right.
So let's move on to this right here. So what's going on now here?
So now we're moving into just a little bit. So continuing movement and tracking, but also now adding a couple of little different pieces in. So they'll start behind the central mannequin. They've got to move across to the far side. So to Liv's left to deal with a shot and then come back in. And now we're into a little bit of a block or a spread. So now it's a timing piece. So you can see in there, Katie just kind of runs into it. It was the initial one. What we're looking for is I always talk to them about kind of two different actions. So it's get across. The mannequin's going to screen her for a second so she can't see the ball in the line and catch. Now you're going to come in, set for a second, and now you got to find your timing to be able to deal with that. The first round was more of a block. The second round we went into a spread. I like to give them a little bit of variety because I feel like the spread has become the answer to everything. I think it's a great tool. I also think you have to look at the person and make sure it works for them. So this is something that we've added into Katie's game that was something that we needed to refine. And I think she's gotten better at it, but being 6'2", when she goes to block, she can take up more of the goal. When she goes to spread, it takes a lot of time. So her timing for that, it needs the right moment. It has to be because to get 6'2" to the ground. I use Edward Vandersaar with her a lot because if you watch Vandersaar, he was very much into that blocking shape. And I think, she's not as tall as Vandersaar, but she's very long like he was. So we look at being a little bit more aggressive in her block versus having to go into that spread all the time.
Yeah.
So here are just a couple different. And for me, failure is okay. Like, and I tell our goalkeepers that all the time. Like, if you want to come in here and make it look pretty all the time, you're not going to get better because it's not. You have to be okay not making a save. You have to be okay playing around with your technique and figuring things out. That's what training is for. On game day, it's going to make you better. I think sometimes you think, again, every ball has to be a save. Every ball has to look perfect. That's not reality for me.
No.
Definitely not.
Yeah, and like the block again, it's per the person, it's timing, and I agree. I think it's used, it's overused, it's coached wrong. It's not, you know, hey, all, you know, all these little kids want to do it now. They're not doing it right. They're not doing it at the right distance at the right time. And so coaches out there, get it right. You know, educate yourself on how to use it, when to use it, how to use it with different types of goalkeepers, height, everything. You know how I feel about it, Mike.
No. And I'm personally, like, the way I look at it, Sergio, and I don't know how you feel about it, but like, if like you're seeing right here, like if your body is in such a negative space and there's still plenty of space behind you, then you were too far back on that spread. Because if a spread is effective, you should end up slightly negative, but your shape should still be reasonably positive because you were so tight in with the player when that spread was made.
And for the spread, like, you've got to explore it a little bit and figure out what works for you. And I think one of the best things for Katie was she went and trained with Jill Lloyden just before preseason, with Aubrey, with Kaylin, and it was fantastic because she was able to kind of explore and figure that out. And I got a couple videos when she left of her going into the spread, and we were able to build off that, which was great, and add another tool to her toolbox. Which at the end of the day, like, you want to acquire as many tools as you can, but the biggest piece is knowing when and where you need to use them. And I think that's a really important piece to for us as goalkeeper coaches, is like, equipping them with the tools is great, but you got to teach them when to use it. You know, you don't need a hammer for every job. So you got to figure out when you need a hammer, when you need a screwdriver. And our job is to help them figure that piece out.
I think we've just turned this into a TKI,
I know. I was literally about to say, I was like,
and we know Jill doesn't pay us anything, but apparently it's like the mecca of where to go train off season as a pro is go to New Jersey, to South Jersey, and find Jill Lloyd, and don't get a one-way ticket. You got to go back to your clubs. But yeah, all right, we're gonna have to send this to her.
And then Sergio dropping the names who were training there. It's like she could start charging admission.
I know. When was that?
They were good. I was great. I think it was a great learning experience. I was really happy that, you know, going into
I mean, you get all those goalkeepers together at training sessions with a coach like Jill Lloyden and everything. I'm like, I would have just loved to watch that. Not played anymore, guys. Not played. If I was younger, I would have been a part of it. But
oh my gosh. All right. Do you guys have time to go through some of these saves from Louisville season? Anybody?
Absolutely.
I got the plumber. So I've got about 10.
Okay. All right. I do. Let's see what we got going on here. Okay. So this is against Orlando Pride, I believe. And I think what happens, this is not an Orlando Pride, but this is a Washington game, right?
Yeah.
Is this where, so Trinity Rodman comes in. She's slightly cut. It's a slight cutback to the top of the 18. She hits a laser. And look at the movement by Katie to keep tracking that ball the entire time and follow through. What I want to do here, Sergio,
but this is exactly like the drill almost that you did with the ball coming across and watching her drop in a little deeper into position to cover the goal, right? So she doesn't stay too high. And if she does, long touch by Trinity, she's done. She won't make the save. So she gives herself a little bit of depth here to cover that space. And it's a great save. It's just absolutely a great save.
The defender as well. I think Abby Ersic does a great job of helping Katie there, knowing. And I think it's the trust of knowing that Abby's taking an angle to take the other side of the goal away. And now Katie can shift and drop and deal with the shot. And I think one of the things we talk about a lot is when to drop and create more time for yourself, because of how fast the ball moves, because of how much, you know, dip and spin there is on them. You've got to buy yourself some time to be able to see it. And I think exactly right, Saskia, she drops really well to give herself a little bit more time, and then she's able to shift across, and it is a really, really good save. And at this stage, it was 2-0. And this keeps it that way. And then we're able to come out of halftime and score, you know, two goals in a relatively quick time, in a quick succession to make this game 2-2. Had this gone to 3-0, you know, things changed. So, you know, we talk about big saves and big moments, no matter what's going on in the game. And this is one that you see helps keep us in it and allows us to then, you know, fight back and get a point out of it.
I just think it's such a great example of all the drills we were just watching. Like even the short four yard short micro movements, everything, like the depth for save with the power and then the movement and everything. It was just kind of all encompassing of the drills.
One thing I really love about it too is that there's just kind of like this little pre-shift movement before the set for the post. So like she's kind of like how Saskia was talking about manipulating the actions of the other team. She's tracking and she's moving in a way to kind of bait Trinity to hit at a certain time, and she's already got the momentum. She's not moving, but she still has her momentum, her body momentum.
And she also knows, like you said, like that far post is covered. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unless something random like a Meg or something like that, but it's covered. So that's that. It looks like sixth sense, but it's, you know, I like that term too. But, you know, it's manipulation.
I want to do this right here because this is a different type of tracking. And this is from a deep position because what happens here, I think it's an in-swinger from Maria Sanchez. This is such a great service into Ordonez at the top of the six. It's point blank right here on Katie. Boom. Save, but look at the tracking of her of discovery of where the ball is. She's there, and boom, still able to pounce on that second ball right there. I love that. I mean, and this is tough for a lot of young goalkeepers because the services are so deep. They kind of now start looking like, oh, now I need to focus on the ball.
And I think it's important too in training. We talk a lot about find the second ball and have a response. You may not get to it, but if you train yourself to get on the second ball, you're going to put yourself in a better spot to make a save. And I think sometimes, you know, there'll be times in training where she responds and she doesn't make the save. But every time you do that, you learn something, you pick up something else. And I think it's important that when the ball is still alive, that we continue to make sure our goalkeepers are moving and doing something and not just laying there watching it. Because you see that a lot, right? Rebound, goalkeeper's so happy with the first save they made, they just watch it. And then it gets tapped in and it's like, yeah, that was a good save. Let's finish. So I think, but those are habits you have to create. And I think you see Katie there from just a prone position throwing herself at the ball, which is fantastic.
I think you also see her in, if like on the cross itself is – you know, with a lot of young goalkeepers, you'll see, well, should I have come, right? Not that I think she should have, but what's your next movement? And her next movement is, okay, I'm not getting to this. I'm not going to get stuck in that, like, decision-making. I'm going to drop and put myself into the right position for the head ball. And so she gets the depth and she's in a great position. And you see a lot of people maybe get caught with that, like, oh, I should have come. And then again, there's my split second for you. Then the ball's in the back of the net.
Yeah. Or they drop too deep and all of a sudden they're on the goal line. And it's like, you've got to find that and I think your initial positioning, and that's something we talk about in those exercises prior to that we were watching, is like, what's your initial position? Are you dropping right back to the goal line and now you're making the space twice as big as it was, or are you holding to see what happens and then adjusting and being able to track the ball?
You know, one thing I want to bring up right here, Sergio, and I love the fact, you know, I think it was Saskia that brought up the fact about, you know, quality over quantity in your activities, because now you're training goalkeepers to look for that second ball because they're used to finishing the action before moving on to the next rep. I think one of the biggest problems, and especially this happens once you get into incorporating outfield players and the team coaches, is now they add on so many reps to the goalkeeper, especially at the youth level, if there's only one goalkeeper, and they're getting trained basically to look for the next shot, look for the next shot, look for the next shot, as opposed to finishing the action. And I tell so many young goalkeepers whenever I'm working with them, there, I don't care about that next kid taking that touch and slotting the ball in.
I'm like, step out of goal if you have to.
Yeah,
exactly. Let it go in. But the other thing it does for field player coaches, it reinstills bad habits. Mm-hmm. So you keep going with your session and the goalkeeper's not back in a good starting position because they're still finishing that last save. You're just putting in bad habits and you're just running it into the ground.
Yep. Absolutely. I want to put this in right here. If we can find this right here, this is one that I really wanted to share here. This is against Orlando Pride, right? Sergio, I believe.
Yep. Last weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. This the Messiah Bryant. It's like 29th minute. Like she dribbles from the end line straight to the near post. Katie holds position. It's a point blank shot, like obstructed view right here. Boom. What a great save. But look at that. Look at that focus and patience to find the ball, get up, and still move with the ball in a tight space and make this second. That is absolutely world-class in my opinion. That's just unreal to track like that and recover.
And for her, you know, that's where she's at her strongest. If that was another goalkeeper, they might have been comfortable coming out into a spread there. And some might argue that maybe she should come out and spread that. For her, she's at her best in those ranges when she can hold her shape. Because she's so long, she can cover so much of that goal with kicking a leg, kicking a hand, whatever it is. The important piece for her is when she's balanced in her set position, that her head is forward. You can see her shape, I think, is such a huge piece to that, because there'll be times in training where she gets stuck kind of coming backwards and her responses are behind her and she can't do anything. She's kicking a leg and she's it there, but I think she keeps her shape. And then again, her ability to track and find the ball and keep her movements pretty tight so that she can now, when that ball struck, step and push into that save, I think it is huge. If she starts to get really big as she's moving and they hit that ball, I don't think she's going to be able to cover as much of the goal as she does. So, you know, she recovers, tracks the ball, but also is aware of how she's moving and not just rushing across the goal. She's very focused on how and why she's getting to where she's going to go.
I mean, this is such a great play. I mean, like, Saskia, I don't know about you, but I think most goalkeepers panic in a scenario like this because it's so tight and they can't see the ball.
I agree. I think a lot of goalkeepers with that long touch by Messiah to cut inside might have come. I 100. We'll be calling Maddie's game Sergio one day too. So I see you chiming in. She'll get there. But I think this goes back to what you're saying is she has to know her strengths here and know that by the time she got to the block here or something, it would have been too late. And know the player she's up against, Messiah. Yeah, I know Sergio. So I just think this is excellent. This is what we're talking about her constantly being in the conversation of the next, one of the next U.S. national team goalkeepers.
I mean, this is, in my opinion, I mean, like, oh, geez, this is such a textbook. Like, I'm going to save this save in my files for my own personal, you know, whenever I'm in a situation in a tight space like this to remember, like in my database, like what happened with Katie in this picture and try to.
No, but now again, remember she's 6'2" and you're 5'8".
Yeah.
Okay. Very true. So, and I'm going to be dead honest with you. I might not have handled this the same way. I was really, really, I was really quick off my line, like love to go. Like I would have been maybe on my front foot and said, oh, Messiah, go ahead, take that touch. I'm coming. You know, like I might've come here for me and it might've worked for me, but it might not. And probably wouldn't have worked for Katie.
Well, I'll tell you straight up.
That situation, or even Hillary Beale, or even I would argue with Liv, like their response would be different. They would come down the line. Cause I agree with you, like a smaller, quicker goalkeeper is going to come out and probably go into that spread because they can't take up as much of the goal as Katie can in that position because of how long she is. So it's such an, that's the part about goalkeeping that I love is like, you could take three different goalkeepers and you'd have three different responses to that. And none of them would be wrong. It's just what, again, but you'll have some coaches that'll say, well, it has to be this way.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be that way. It has to be whatever the strength of that goalkeeper is at the time.
I know we're running late, guys, but I really want to bring this up right here. How many young goalkeepers in this moment right here, when they see this picture, would spread right on the near post right there, and then that ball is just slotted to the back post because they just spread default and drop themselves right there? Yeah. You know, I just think it's just so important for people to see that right here. And I think Suskia's plumber just got there. So I think we need to wrap that up. But actually, really quick,
I sent you the one from preseason. I don't know if that one came through, but a really good example of tracking.
Oh, sure. I should be able to find that. Hold on.
Sorry, plumber.
No worries. No worries.
It's a good tracking one to end on because it's a ball that comes through a lot of bodies, and I think it's about being able to like we've talked about, being able to see the ball, even though you don't see it, knowing where the ball is coming from and where it's heading to.
Okay, let me see if I can find that here. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm actually just going to download it again. I'm going to download it again. That's what I'm going to do, because I think you sent it. It's a quick one, right? Here's a great save from a tracking perspective. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to send that. I'm just going to download that again really quickly. Image. image something. There we go. Download. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay. Oh, this is literally off your laptop. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, what do we got going on here? It's a little difficult to see.
Yeah, it is. Sorry about that. I thought it would be a better. Yeah, you can't see it. Bummer. I'll send you a better version. It's a shot from the top of the box, which she doesn't see till the end. But I think what it really shows is, again, being able to control your body, being able to control your body shape and see something really late and be able to get a hand to it. It's a fantastic save. I'll send you it. I apologize. I didn't realize it was going to be that blurred out. But I think, again, it goes back to the point of and corner. This came off a corner. Ball gets knocked down. And when you've got bodies in front of you, I think it's extremely important. You know, you're moving. You know the ball is coming through a bunch of legs. Can you track the ball knowing that you're going to lose it a little bit, but put yourself in a position that when it comes out of that crowd, that you're able to respond to it, versus where some goalkeepers might get stuck just watching the ball and not necessarily positioning themselves to deal with where it's going to finish.
Yeah.
But while we start wrapping up everything, and guys, I appreciate everybody. Saskia, were you able to take care of letting the plumber in? Is everything
yeah, I got to go talk to him. But yeah,
okay. So we'll start wrapping up right here. For both of you guys here, Serge, do you have any advice for any young goalkeepers who are really having trouble tracking the ball, especially maybe in some of these pressure situations like we were just seeing Katie in?
Yeah, I think start simple, even if it's a ball played from, you know, a cutback position to the top of the box, and really work on your movements and your timing and break things down and understand why you're moving. Don't just move to move. Know why you're moving and where you're moving. And I think too many times we get caught back up to what Saskia said before. It's like, you're just moving. You have no idea what you're doing. You're running. You're hoping you can set and you're hoping you can make the save. And I think it's really important, especially if it's a certain scenario that you're struggling with, is to break that down and just start to imprint the movements. Like, even with some of the things we do initially in training is we'll do some band work where we're just doing movement. So they're strapped into a band and I'll literally have a pass from the penalty spot to the corner of the six, which would simulate similar to where Bright was when she struck that, and just working on the movement in there and how you're moving and where you're moving, making sure your body's in line and understanding that, and then start to progress. And maybe you put a mannequin in the way now, so you lose the ball for a second. But I think you've got to layer it in and break things down. I think sometimes we do things too fast and we don't understand why. And then we lose the realism to it. And it just becomes, you're doing something just to do it. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Saskia, anything you want to add on to that?
No, it's on point.
It's succinct. It's my week off. I'm going to save my breakdowns for this weekend for the youth.
breakdown. I gave a lot of breakdowns.
You gave a lot. So we're gonna let you go. We're gonna let both of you guys go. Serge, really appreciate you taking the time. We're really excited to see how things keep progressing, you know, with Louisville this year. I believe you're on the Union. So if anybody wants to connect with you directly over on the Union, what's your handle over there?
It should be SGGGK77.
Cool. And guys, if you don't know what we are talking about, we're talking about the Union. It is a free app to engage and connect with all sorts of different goalkeepers from all different levels of ability, and to learn from each other in a safe space. We're going to have pro coaches, pro players, you know, doing breakdown sessions, all sorts of really cool stuff coming up. We're going to be involved with different camps this summer, a lot of really, really cool things. So it's free. Register. And if you want to get to that breakdown session with Saskia and myself this weekend and share your own content, free for the first 10 to register. So just hop on this right there, guys, unionsports.com/content/Saskia. Weber. And if you don't get in on that first 10, you can still register, guys, but there are limited spots. But we're really looking forward to this, where we're going to try to keep this consistent with people all the time, over and over again. If you want to reach out to Saskia, it's, I believe, at Saskia, just like Madonna on the Union. And that's probably the place.
Hey, it's a special name.
Absolutely.
And it's at Saskia underscore Weber on all other social media platforms, but it's at Saskia at the Union. Yes, it is, Mike.
And it's contact at Goalkeeper Podcast for a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion on the Union, or contact at InsideThe18Media.com if you want to do. I almost said snail mail, but it's email. Although nowadays,
hey Sergio, before you go, tell Katie. Although I had to drill her for that one. I think she's doing great, and I love watching her. So.
I'll pass it along. Thank you. And thank you guys so much for having me on. I love, you know, being part of this community, and I appreciate you guys, you know, let me come on and talk, and thank you for all that you're doing. I think this is great. I think, you know, there's so much education going on, and you bring on so many great people, and you've got so much. So thank you for what you're doing for the goalkeeping community. It is appreciated.
Oh, well, thanks, man. And we have a quota. We have to get at least one Jersey person on the show every month.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I still kept my
that's in Suskia's contract. All right, guys, that's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.